Hello and welcome back to The Game's Gone Mad with me, Olivia, where we run down the week's biggest football news. This week, we're chatting all things European finals with reactions from Chelsea's triumph in Baku and preparing for someone other than Real Madrid to win the Champions League on Saturday.
The Game's Gone Mad.
I'm joined again this week by Patrick and Zach. Welcome back.
Bonjour.
How are you both?
I'm particularly happy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Chelsea fan.
I was about to ask why, like, so innocently, and then I realised you're a scumbag Chelsea fan.
Before we get into that, Zach.
Yes.
Part-time Pete is away again.
He sent me a text and was like, I can't believe you've done this.
How do you feel stepping into his pink trainers?
They are disgustingly pink as well. I don't rate them at all. Not too bad. He sent me a few nasty messages once he saw that I was on the podcast, and then put the meme of the Mean Girls thing saying you can't sit with us. However, Pete, I'm here again.
And you're an honorary plastic. Welcome. How does it feel?
Maybe I'll just dye my hair blonde and then I can be
excellent.
An official one.
Yeah.
I've always thought about doing the tips, but then I'm always like, nah, don't be silly.
Can you imagine?
Don't be silly.
Whoa.
Let's move on to the first topic for today, which is Chelsea's 4-1 win in the Europa League final on Wednesday night. Before we talk about the on-the-pitch antics, I wanted to talk about an article I read this morning, which was by Chris Bevan for the BBC, and he said that he titled it Far Away From the Pitch and A Long Way From Home. Next time UEFA wants to take a showpiece final to an outpost, they could try the moon. I thought that was quite funny. It was a bit of a surreal game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in terms of, I mean, we kind of previously spoke about like the whole thing about it being in Baku and everything, but even like, I didn't quite realise until I saw photos of how far away the fans are from
so
the pitch.
So far away.
You could
hear it though from, obviously we watched it on TV. It was an awful atmosphere, wasn't it? It felt like a pre-season game, not a European final.
It very much did. And apparently they actually put fake crowd noise through on the speakers as well.
Gosh.
Which I think sums it up quite nicely.
But it's also weird. I mean, like, I guess that this is what happens when Azerbaijani teams are also allowed in the Champions League.
Sure.
And the Europa League, but Azerbaijan is not in Europe, so it's really bizarre that the Europa League final is being held there. Like, I find that extremely strange, but I mean, I don't know, it just feels like they were committed to the decision.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't accept that they'd done something wrong, which is what they needed to do to kind of fix it, and ended up being a bit of a dreadful atmosphere.
Right, so let's move on to Chelsea's success. Now, Zach, you are resident Blues fan, take it away.
I do want to say, I actually think I've been quite quiet.
Anyone who follows Zach on Twitter will see his...
You were quite obnoxious
on
Twitter.
My Twitter isn't for us, it's for me trying to annoy everyone else out there.
You are quite
I'm very successful.
I nearly unfollowed you this morning.
Close enough. That's perfect though, isn't it? Like, I'm on the line there.
You should just focus on your own success. Why do you care about Arsenal's
failures?
Because
it's hilarious.
Why?
It's so good.
It did seem quite funny.
In terms of Chelsea yesterday, second half especially, we were very, very good. I did think in the first half there were some worrying signs. There was about a 20-minute spell where I was very surprised we didn't concede. I said on the live stream that I thought Lacazette had dived
for
the penalty.
I think it was a penalty.
I can see both, right? It's one of those ones where even with VAR, it doesn't help. Like, he does touch him, sure, but is it really enough to go down? And has he left his leg there hanging when he hits his head? I can see both reasons as for why it can be given and why it can't be given. But apart from that, there wasn't really that much more that I thought Arsenal offered. Aubameyang really wasn't good.
Let's start with Chelsea and go into Arsenal after. Got to take the reins of this podcast, otherwise you two will be running free.
Last thing we want.
Kante, I thought, grew into the game. At one point, I was like, what's he doing on the pitch? Because he felt so 50%. His passes were just going
I think
all
after like
throw-ins.
20 minutes or something, he'd completed 10 passes and hadn't made a tackle or interception.
Yeah,
that feels like an issue.
It was so unlike him. But he grew into the game. I actually thought Kovacic had one of his best games for Chelsea.
I think he had his best game in Chelsea.
He was so good. You did call it on the in the Europa League preview. Eden Hazard, if it is his last game, a game to go out
it does
on.
Seem like it's going to be, because after the game, he said that he thinks it's goodbye for Chelsea. In the game, he scored twice, one being a penalty, had three shots. They were all on target, made five key passes and five dribbles.
Poor He was just ridiculous. Like,
how are Chelsea going to move on without him?
But this is like, it's essentially like losing Ronaldo or Messi, right? We're not going to be able to do the exact same. Like, hopefully Pulisic can at least do somewhat the same ability or the same stuff. It's a weird one. I think we just kind of got to accept it and hope for the best and just hope that maybe the system has to change a little bit more. Instead of it going down the left, maybe we go more down the right and we just adjust as so. I thought also Giroud had, again, his best game. This year in that competition, he's been so good, bless him.
Yeah, top scorer.
I mean, the first goal, 12 goals, where I think. The movement to get in front of the ball and the header and everything about it was just so Giroud, so perfectly him.
Patrick, do you miss him playing for Arsenal?
Not particularly. I mean, like, it would have been good if he hadn't scored, but like, I don't know. Like, I feel like when Giroud left, we got like decent money for a guy who was pretty old, and he's still pretty old. Like, he wouldn't have really changed our season like this year.
You got Aubameyang for him technically as well.
Well, exactly, and I don't know. Like, I think that Giroud's a really good backup forward to have. Chelsea have had to give him quite a hefty contract in order to keep him because of their transfer situation.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, maybe the forwards didn't show up on the day, but like, I'm pretty happy with our front line. It's one of the few areas of the squad I am happy with.
So Chelsea's triumph brought their fifth European trophy since the Europa League in 2013. But the future is looking quite unsettled. With Sarri, he did look very happy with his medal.
Bless him.
Which was such a heartwarming video.
That was
very
heartwarming.
Can't believe it's his first.
Yeah, I mean, he won like Serie D over in Italy, but that doesn't count because it counts as non-professional.
Do you think he's on his way out with Hazard? We did speak about this last week, but...
It's odd, right? It's he can move to Juventus and he gets so much from it, and it's a step up in his career. He gets to win the league, gets more chances of success. But I think he is a man who does want to implement something. I think it doesn't stand with him. I think it stands with the Chelsea board and what the Chelsea board want to do. I mean, Roman Abramovich was at the game. I think that's like the second time he's probably ever met Sarri in the flesh or spoken to him.
They did say they're going to have a meeting about it, obviously, after the final.
Which is good. And I'm...
How do you feel, though, about Hazard coming out straight away and being like, yeah, I'm off? Do you think you should be saying that straight away? He's obviously been thinking about it all match.
Everyone already knows at the club, then, I mean...
And during the whole interview as well, he was trying to avoid the question, and the interview was just kept like going, like, so are you leaving? Or are you going to be here? And he essentially said, look, I've made my decision, which he'd already said beforehand, and that this could be goodbye, which is obviously obvious. I mean, Perez came out and said Hazard's at the top of his list. And now it's all up to Real Madrid.
But he didn't burn the bridge, I thought. Like, you know, he kind of said, like, look, you know, he also acknowledged it's possible that he's still there next season.
But he's such a good player. I think I'll really miss watching him in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I think, and hopefully, it becomes even better at Real Madrid.
I don't know if he's likely to become better. He might get more goals next season, but I don't know. Definitely. I'm not sure I can imagine him being better than he was this season, where he's doing all your ball progression, most of your goal scoring, all your chance creation. Like, he's just amazing.
If he's got Modric, Kroos, Benzema, possibly Gareth Bale or whoever.
Yeah, but it'll mean he's got fewer jobs,
so
therefore he's less impressive.
Exactly.
Then he can just focus on attacking, right? And
the thing is, he's not an outstanding goal scorer. Like, he could probably get more goals next season, maybe, though he also takes penalties at Chelsea, which he probably won't at Real Madrid. So, I don't know. If you just want... like a wide forward whose job is just to score goals, I'm not sure I'd go and get a 28-year-old Eden Hazard. Like, that's not what he's great at.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I think you could get somebody else for that money who would probably do that job actually a little bit better.
Fair. I reckon the issue at the moment that is stalling it per se is the price tag. I reckon Real Madrid are trying to get it under 100 million, and I reckon Chelsea wants it over 100 million, especially for the summer coming after.
It's a pretty decent deal either way. If it goes for about 100 mil,
it's going great at the moment.
To get an Hazard for 100 mil is pretty damn good. And for Chelsea to get 100 mil for a guy who's got a year left on his contract is also good business. Pity you can't spend it. But then again, if you're bringing in Pete Cech as your sporting director, then maybe it's for the best that you have money.
Arsenal's man of the match.
Chelsea Pete is leaving Arsenal, but not in the exact same high as Eden Hazard.
No. I actually thought he was your best player yesterday. I really did. He pulled off some very good saves. One of the ones Temps was fuming at when, when Giroud chips over to Eden Hazard.
Not really.
Oh, well, basically did that. It's just, it's an impossible thing to say. If Temps was fuming that he's not pulled it off.
So, Patrick, what to happen with Arsenal?
It feels like Arsenal did what they've done quite a lot under Emery this season, which is like their first half, they're like, we're going to sit pretty deep. We'll let you have the ball. We'll counter attack. And it worked kind of well.
Yeah.
But I actually couldn't see the first half. And I was watching like, and I was watching like text updates basically. And what I started seeing was people saying, oh, like Xhaka threw ball to Kolasinac.
Yeah.
Maitland-Niles getting space on the flanks. Yes. And all I thought is,
Kolasinac had a lot of space.
If we're sitting deep and getting forward, like when we get a chance, that's one thing. But if we're now getting sucked forwards and our wing backs are pushing up, then you start wondering about what's going to happen with Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
And then you do start to see stuff like, there were a couple of times where Arsenal did this thing they've done all season where they kind of overcorrect in attack.
Yeah.
So like the ball's on the right side, all the defenders kind of move over there and a quick switch just means they're totally isolated.
Yeah.
And there was stuff like Emerson had that shot from inside the box, which was blocked, but you suddenly saw like huge amounts of space appear. Yeah. And that's something Arsenal have done all season. And then in the second half, I think, I'm not going to blame it on absences because also Chelsea went up a level and Arsenal were pretty poor. But I do think that not having someone like Ramsey, for instance, or even Mkhitaryan, someone who combines some of the creativity of an Ozil with a bit more presence.
Yeah, I was just looking at that bench and it was Alex Iwobi, who I thought was good when he came back on. But like, if Carl Jenkinson is on the bench, then we've got a problem.
Well, in fairness, it's big benches in the Europa League. But I mean,
he still shouldn't be anywhere near it.
I think Iwobi's actually had a really, really good season. I think Iwobi's been great all year. But I think, just in that game, you just see Chelsea are both a better overall team and have, I don't know if I'd say superior overall talent. I think Hazard is the best player at either club, like, or the best attacking player at either club, followed by Aubameyang. But the problem is Chelsea's star in Hazard can create something out of nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aubameyang still needs some service.
Sure.
So if you're not getting service into him, it's
very
a problem.
True.
Who was it that came on?
Joe Willock.
He missed a few. There was one he definitely has to put away, and there's one where he gets in the way of another one.
Well, I looked at the XG afterwards, and it was like 1.5 plus a pen for Chelsea, so that's kind of about 2.2 to 1.5 for Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually a little bit closer than the scoreline would suggest because there were so many sitters missed in that game.
Yeah.
But also, you know, this is what great players do. Like, they finish half chances.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, and Arsenal also, you know, you could argue that maybe Aubameyang used up all his great finishing in the semi against Valencia, where he got a hat trick out of virtually nowhere.
Mm.
Petr Cech leaves Chelsea, well, leaves the Prem.
Yeah.
Like, having won a hatful of titles and the Champions League. Eden Hazard arrived the year after Chelsea won the Champions League. He's won two titles, I think.
And the Europa League twice.
But
he didn't play in the final in 2013.
And he missed the Champions League win, which is a little bit sad, I think.
He only joined Chelsea because we won the Champions League.
Yeah, but,
that was his first European final. That seems crazy, doesn't it?
I mean, we've missed being in the competitions.
I feel like it's actually been a slightly underwhelming prime for Eden Hazard. Like,
sure,
there was a dead year in the middle of his career, like where he was actually bad for a year.
I think he's going to be one of those players that you look back at and doesn't really get the credit, but he's so good to watch at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I like watching Chelsea because I like watching Eden Hazard. Whereas in, I think, 10 years' time when people talk about the Premier League's best or whatever, I don't know if he's going to be in the talk.
Yeah, he's come through a Chelsea.
Well, he should be.
He's come through a 7 years where, to be honest, Chelsea have been up and down to dramatic scales, to finishing like outside of Europe a couple of times, to winning the league fantastically under Conte.
Mm-hmm.
So I do get what you mean, and I guess being when he has been in Europe, it's not necessarily we've not necessarily gone as far as say when we did when we went to the final a couple of years before that when Chelsea went in 2008. Imagine if he was in that squad during the time with Lampard, like Didier, and
you did get
time.
To the semi that time when you got knocked out by Atleti. The first, I think, in 13-14,
and comfortably knocked out. That was before Diego Costa joined us as well.
But it's slightly disappointing to me. Like, I think if I look at Eden Hazard, I look at the quality of player he is, and I think maybe he shouldn't have signed one of these deals like 3 or 4 years ago, and he should have tried to go to Real Madrid then, because then I think he would have a much fuller trophy cabinet.
Yeah, very full. So what are the problems at Arsenal, Patrick? Is it the squad? Is it the manager? Or do you think it's something bigger in the hierarchy? So I think there's lack of ambition, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I also think it's a lack of joined up thinking. You know, like, I think the recruitment has been, like, weirdly all over the place. Like, there have been some great signings, like, you know, Torreira and Guendouzi are undeniably great signings. On the other hand, like, there was this idea of, like, we can fill squad holes with older players. But you bring in someone like Sokratis, and Sokratis has been better than you'd expect. But still, you're not going to compete for anything in the next 2 or 3 years. So it seems weird to say, let's get in these guys who are going to give us a couple of seasons, because it feels like short-termism, like, oh, we'll get back into the top four and then we'll buy in like young defenders instead. And actually, I think if you just said to Arsenal 3 years ago, you're going to finish outside the top four for the next 3 seasons, what they could have done then is just bought a bunch of 21, 22-year-olds, let them grow together, and now we would have a much younger side.
They kind of did that, though. They could have done that with Rob Holding and Callum Chambers, surely.
Well, Callum Chambers, I don't think, is quite good enough, to be honest with you. And yeah, Rob Holding's had injuries, but Rob Holding's still actually very young. Like, they bought him when he was 20, I think, and he's still 22, maybe.
Love him.
Or maybe 23
I
now.
I think they're the same age, him and Callum Chambers.
Yeah, I mean, Callum Chambers has been relegated with two Premier League sides, isn't it?
Fulham Player of the Year, though.
I thought Callum Chambers was perfectly decent, but like, as a DM, like playing for a relegation side, like, he's not going to play. I doubt he's going to come into Arsenal.
Wasn't he originally
top
a right back?
Center. That was when we bought him after one season at Southampton. But anyway, I think that when you're a club like Arsenal and you can't always afford to pay top whack for big players, you've got to buy young players, take smart gambles, and let them develop. Mm. And Arsenal can afford to do that and keep locking those guys down to contracts. Emery's been a bit uninspiring this season, but on the other hand, I think if you look at managers' first seasons, they don't tend to be great. I think Klopp's first season at Liverpool, not very good. Mm-hmm. Pochettino's first season at Spurs was genuinely bad, and they were lucky to finish fifth. So I think that you give them another year to kind of like to learn the ropes, and you see where you are at the end of that. But I'd be perfectly happy if, like, if he did go this summer, I wouldn't care. And if he went at next summer, I certainly wouldn't care. But Arsenal are in the position now where they need to nail several big transfers. They need to nail...
Do you think they'll spend the money?
They're going to spend some money. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to spend a lot of money.
You just need to be smart.
If they get a left-back, it has to be a very good left-back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they get a centre-back, it has to be really good. They need a central midfielder, it has to be really good. They need a wide attacker, it has to be really good. All these signings have to hit because they've got absolutely no leeway. Unless you say, you know what, we are actually going to spend quite a lot of money over the next, say, 6 years. We're going to spend like 80, 90 mil every year and do what Liverpool did and gradually build.
Yeah.
And I think they just need to look at the way Liverpool have done stuff and say, Liverpool don't actually have access to better recruitment people than Arsenal do. Arsenal were so far ahead, like in the data revolution, have an enormous scouting network, have a good academy again. Like, they have so many resources. But where Liverpool have done it better is just in implementation of it. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got a little bit lucky as well, or rather they've done a good job in that all their big signings have pretty much hit.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is just like a sensible system that Arsenal could have employed 7 years ago and didn't. That, you know, Man City have kind of employed to some degree. Arsenal just need to look at clubs like Dortmund and clubs like Liverpool who've turned themselves into big teams by just doing smart transfer business and rely on the fact that they can actually do this. They can actually trust in their data department, because clearly the way they're doing things at the moment is not working.
Yeah. At the end of the loss in the Europa League final, Emery did admit that players will be leaving. Who do you want to find the exit door at the Emirates?
I almost don't care who leaves. Like, I really don't. Like, I would like Xhaka to leave, like, because I feel like as long as Xhaka's there, he's going to play a lot.
Mm.
And it's not that I think he's a bad player, but he's unreliable and I don't trust him. Mm. And I think that if you can get money for him, you get money for him. Mustafi's got to leave. He's dreadful. I would happily move on one of the other old centre-backs as well. I'd happily move on Chambers. I think obviously Welbeck's leaving.
Ozil.
Ramsey's left. I think you've got to let Ozil leave because he's just not... Emery has never got good production out of him at any point this season.
Yeah.
There seems to be no good role for him, and I just think you get rid. Mkhitaryan's
who's
going to
pay
go.
For him, though?
I would happily let Aubameyang or Lacazette go. One
right,
of them.
So the squad is looking extremely bare, Patrick.
Well, I just think that... like
you're willing to keep Guendouzi and Torreira.
Pretty much. And Iwobi.
And Leno.
And Maitland-Niles. But I think
he is good.
I think that I don't want to lose one of Lacazette or Aubameyang, but I think that the squad is top heavy at the moment, and we've got two strikers, and that's a nice luxury to have. But luxuries are for when you've got the basics, and we don't have the basics.
so I feel like that's an extremely good point.
Yeah, we've got like Waitrose strikers, and then we've got and then we've got like Lidl, the rest of the team. Like, so I think Lidl. Yeah. Look, Lidl's fine, but you've got to be careful.
It's no M&S,
you,
is it?
And when you pick an avocado at Lidl, you check that it's a good avocado.
That's true. Whereas I'm a Waitrose, I just pick them straight up.
Yeah, so Socrates, good avocado, maybe. Lichtsteiner, horrible avocado. Yeah. Trash avocado. I think that if you sell one of those guys, like, it would be painful. But say some...
I think you'd get more money for an avocado than you would for the stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd pay more.
I'd much rather have an avocado. Though, who's been on toast more this season?
Hey! And on that note, let's move on to the Champions League.
The game's gone mad.
So next up, we're talking about the Champions League, which is obviously kicking off on Saturday night.
God.
Tottenham, Liverpool in Madrid, a bit closer to home than Baku, but still not that easy to get to. Right, I want to talk about this club by club and then onto the match.
Club by club, all two clubs.
All two clubs, yeah, exactly. Right, so let's start with Liverpool and then go on to Tottenham and then talk about the game. Okay.
Better players.
Is everyone following?
Yeah.
Perfect. Liverpool, Patrick, are we expecting their usual style of, I know you love this term, heavy metal football?
Oh, Jesus. Christian grunge football. I think they'll be a little bit more conservative, actually.
Yeah.
Because I think they know the way that Spurs will play. Spurs.
Do you think that's from that recent Premier League game where Spurs, was it in the second half, they kind of expose them a little bit more than they had done before?
Yeah, and I also think it's from like Spurs against City in the Champions League. Like Spurs are, I think, are pretty clearly underdogs in this game. Mm-hmm. Like, both in terms of, you know, squad and fitness, like everything really. And I think that Liverpool, as a result, have to be really careful that they don't get sucker punched, because with people like Son and Lucas Moura, there's so much pace in that Spurs side. So I think that Liverpool, it's difficult because they'll be expected to be the protagonists. Though actually last year against Real Madrid, I thought that they were really imposing, you know, their will on the game until Salah went down. I don't know. I think that they'll perhaps be a little bit cautious the first like 15-20 minutes. I don't think they'll start to really commit their fullbacks until later on, because it's just too dangerous against Tottenham. And if there's one manager, you know, sometimes I think as a manager, sometimes you must go out and think, there's this one weakness in my team. And it's unavoidable. I really hope they don't notice. If there's one manager who I think will notice, it's Pochettino.
Yeah. Zach, do you think that Liverpool will have learnt from their loss in the final last season? Is that...
Possibly. I think their loss from last season was different, though, right? They had a Real Madrid team that was very, very good. And...
experience on the biggest stage, though, that Tottenham don't have.
And it's the first time, like, most of those Liverpool players had ever been in an experience like that in arguably the biggest competition and biggest match of their lives.
Yeah.
So maybe I think that experience will help. I do agree with Pato that I think they will be a lot more conservative, especially at the start. I highly doubt you'll see Trent and Robertson push on the ish. Yeah, straight away. I just think they've got better players in general. They've got a better squad in general, Liverpool.
Yes.
That is what will probably do it for them. Unless Pochettino has an absolute madness.
So, or like Lloris just plays blinder. If we talk about Tottenham, Harry Kane is back. He's supposedly fit. Yeah. You're Pochettino, do you start him?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like 60 minutes of Harry Kane at like, even at 75% is better
so
than
Llorente. So then who would you drop?
Llorente.
Yeah, every day of the week. Llorente. I mean, but I think a good like that. I think Llorente is also a great impact sub to bring on.
Yeah.
If it is getting to that point where you do need to just get him on to control it, go long, let him try and bring it down with his chest or knock it on with his head, it's perfect. And if Harry Kane is, say, lasting 60 minutes and he does have to come off, Llorente is fine. He's a good backup to bring on. I think if you go into the final and you say to Poch, do you want to start Llorente? I think he'll go, what are you on about? I'm sorry, Harry Kane, every day of the week, even if he's missing a foot.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Where do you think the key battles will be in the game?
Fullbacks. For Liverpool. I really do think, depending on how the first 20 minutes go, will depend on the scoreline. So say Liverpool score early on, I reckon it'll be Liverpool slapping Tottenham about. Jurgen Klopp wants to push on Trent Alexander-Arnold and also Robertson, then that's where Son and that's where Lucas Moura will start going into those spaces, and that's when Harry Kane can come a bit more alive and start dragging the centre-backs about, and then that's where I see Tottenham capitalising on Liverpool.
See, I kind of see it more at the other end. Like weirdly, in the past, these are games that have been defined by the midfield, like Liverpool versus Spurs. But that just isn't possible, like in this game, because Spurs don't have a midfield and are just happy to give it up, like they did that over the back half. But I think if I was Spurs, I'd probably play three at the back, just because they need that extra cover in the wide areas, because particularly Trippier on the right is just not a good defender. Whereas their centre backs are very, very good. So I think that then you, to me, that's, I trust Salah is better than Mane, but Danny Rose is better than Trippier. So so what I see is really that space between Trippier and his centre back. I see Mane in that hole like being a real problem, like a real real problem.
You think Sanchez starts? Otherwise, it's Foyth, isn't it?
If he's fit, yeah, you have to start Sanchez. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, that's the difficulty. Like if you're gonna have to play Foyth or play four at the back, that is a really horrible choice, because four at the back, I just don't think works defensively for the Spurs side with Trippier.
So do you think Trippier is their biggest weakness?
Yeah, I think so. Like, they found a way around the midfield, and actually, like against Ajax, they found ways to contain them with a really weird midfield. Even moving Danny Rose in there at various points. But I think
Very intelligent, wasn't it?
To me, Trippier's the issue. Like, Trippier's a guy that Spurs have always kept in the side because of his attacking contribution. Like, he was the guy who did all the ball progression, and particularly once Moussa Dembele could do less of it. However, when I've got Ali and I've got Eriksen in midfield, then I think I'm like, Trippier doesn't really defend very well, and we don't actually need him to get the ball forward because we're playing a more direct game. So I would just get somebody in who can at least match Mane for pace.
So what do you think Tottenham should try and exploit in Liverpool, Zach?
Oh, that is a very
tricky question.
Yeah, I mean, I've already kind of mentioned the fullback situation.
They do switch off sometimes, those fullbacks.
Yeah, indeed.
As good as they
are. Especially when they are pushing up. When they are pushing up, they're sometimes a bit lazy to get back. And then if it's just a little quick counter-attack, and the pace of Lucas, like Lucas Moura against Ajax was actually incredible.
I think he might be a sub, though, in this game.
Really?
Yeah, do you think? I think so too, but imagine playing that game and then getting subbed the next.
Yeah,
the
but
final.
On the other hand, like, if you want to play Kane, you want to play Son, you want to play Eriksen, you want to play
where
Ali.
Where do you put him?
Like, then, like, where's your midfield? And also, you don't want your only attacking sub you can make to be, like, Llorente or Vincent Janssen.
And do you actually genuinely believe Lucas Moura is going to make a habit of scoring hat-tricks in later stages?
Maybe he is a sub then. Maybe he is a sub.
To have some,
whereas Harry Kane you can rely on in a big game, I think.
And to have some pace off the bench. If you don't have him coming off the bench, you've got zero pace. Like, actually zero pace on the bench.
I wonder if they've played an in-house friendly or anything, because Harry Kane, his first competitive game coming back, being the Champions League final after 2 or 3 months out, that's a big stage.
King Kane.
goodness gracious. I mean, we've seen him when he came back from his previous injuries. It took him a little bit of time to get back into it.
Which is why I think it could be important that he starts, because I think he's going to be a bit slow at the start.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want is to bring him on for like half an hour.
And he hasn't got enough time to get to grips with the game.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just getting slapped about a bit. Like, I just think, like, if you start him and it turns out not to be good enough, you take him off and you're like, oh, well.
And you've got confidence that Lucas Moura is...
Exactly.
Is Joe Gomez fit at all? Does anyone know?
I think he is.
I think he is.
I think he's back. Yeah.
I was just trying to think who the pair will be: Van Dijk and obviously Gomez. Then, because if it's Matip or Lovren, I hope it's Lovren. I hope he has another absolute mess.
No, Matip's had a couple of stormers over the back half of the season. Annoyingly. But I think, I don't know. That it's hard to see like a real personnel issue. For Liverpool, but I think that somebody like Son or Eriksen, they are good enough to just make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
So let's end it with predictions. Who do you think is going to win the Champions League final, Zach?
I believe it is going to be Spurs.
Ooh.
Wow, on penalties.
Oh,
yikes! Just because
nil-nil thriller.
A 2-2.
Oh,
Spurs getting a last minute goal.
Patrick.
I don't know why I think this, because I do think Liverpool are better.
That's what I'm saying.
But there's just something in my head that's like, I could just see Spurs doing it and Liverpool ending the season with no trophies.
And then Poch goes to Barca.
I think Klopp just deserves a trophy. I'm going to go Liverpool win 2-1.
I don't know. I would love Poch. Okay, I don't want Spurs to win, but I don't want Liverpool to win either. But if the first trophy of Poch's career is the Champions League.
Right, I'm taking back control, and our next section is headlines, but we've been talking for ages, so I'm only going to do a couple, okay?
Aww.
I know. You've only got a couple, haven't you? Right, no, I've got a few. But we're going to start with Bayern Munich bidding for Paulo Dybala, Zach.
Oh, that is...
Do you want me to tell you a bit more?
What's the price?
Well, the Italians are reporting that Bayern have made an 80 million euro bid.
Never happening.
But Juve are holding out for 100.
Yeah, Juve will only accept over 100 million. They rate him too highly.
I think everyone is only expecting over 100. I think it's... For everyone.
100 is such a bargain for
Dybala. Yeah, it really is.
Do you see him going to Bayern?
I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
I kind of feel a bit weird, though, like, about how, like... But the way James's treatment in Bayern happened, like... I'm just kind of going like
treatment
a South American, South
happened,
American
right.
Links here. But possibly it could happen again with Dybala. Like Dybala needs to be the main man. Dybala now
yeah, I don't think you're making
Dybala
any sense.
Dybala now needs to be the main man wherever he goes, right?
Sure.
I don't know if that will necessarily happen at Bayern Munich.
Mm-hmm. But he can be the main... The good thing about Dybala is he can be the main man in a bunch of different ways, right? So he can be your guy who gets loads of shots and scores loads of goals. Or he could be your creator who's like getting on the ball a lot. And I think having him alongside Lewandowski with the possibility that when Lewandowski ages out, which is like not that far away, that Dybala could take over and play as a nine, I think that's quite exciting. And if you were also to bring in somebody like Leroy Sané...
Yeah.
If you can get Dybala for 100 mil...
Leroy Sané.
He's 25 years old. He's like...
Do you see them spending 200
physically.
Mil?
Because they've also spent... they've spent so much money on other players.
But they've got so much money they don't spend. They've never really spent that much. Like
yeah,
they've got, they must have so
that's
much
such
money.
A mad squad overhaul. So then they're bringing in Lucas Hernandez. They're bringing in Pavard. They're bringing in... the central midfielder.
Well, they're linked to Rodri, they're linked to Rabiot, like they're linked to a bunch of people.
And then they bring in another winger, and they also bring in Dybala as well.
Yeah, they need to, though.
So yeah, many players.
But they're losing two
and
wingers. They'll send a centre-back. I don't think they'll bother with a keeper this year. I think they'll wait.
I don't think, yeah, they do need to.
And they can kind of leave striker, like leave Lewandowski for a bit now.
Yeah, and also like with financial fair play, it's not like you can't spend a lot in one summer. Like it's over 3 years, right? Like it's averaged out and you need to be beyond a certain level.
Yeah.
Their revenue is enormous. They don't spend money. Like they have so much cash lying about. And yeah, if they want, they could go and sell somebody. Like if they want to sell Jerome Boateng, are they going to get a lot of money for him? No, but they'll get like 25. Like if they want to go and sell somebody else, like there are assets in that squad.
So you're saying Dybala should go to Bayern. Where else could you see him going?
I mean, the ideal place for him would have been Chelsea.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I want to wait a year out.
It would have worked so well. Like, if Chelsea were to keep Sarri and Hazard were to leave, then what they'd need is a guy who can play on the wing, who can create, who can score, who can dribble, like who's going to get on the ball constantly. And probably the closest to that, if you wanted to get somebody to be like Insigne was for Sarri at Napoli, the two guys are Coutinho and Dybala.
Yeah.
And I think Dybala would cost less. I think he's better. He's younger. And that would have been the ideal move. If not there, I'm sure Man United will have an interest. And I saw a suggestion that Atletico Madrid would be fun as a replacement for Griezmann. I actually think he's a better player than Griezmann. I think that would have been really exciting.
That'd be really fun.
Alongside Morata.
It's very good. That'd be actually mad. Especially they've already
Arsenal, mate,
as well.
We'll give them Aubameyang in return for Dybala.
I would love Dybala at Arsenal.
And cash.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, that will not happen. Right, next up we have a PSG swap deal with Barcelona. Zach, any guesses who this story is discussing?
Coutinho and...
I know who it is.
Umtiti and Marquinhos.
No.
I don't care.
Patrick, do you know?
It's Ousmane Dembele for Neymar.
It is indeed. What
and
you
money?
Make it? Your face is
probably
screwed
yeah.
up in all kinds of ways.
Okay, I thought just a straight swap deal.
I would do this if I were either club. Actually, no, I wouldn't do it if I were Barca. I'd do this in a heartbeat.
How old's Neymar
PSG?
Now?
27.
But would he want to go to PSG?
What, Dembele?
Yeah.
He's French, like, probably. Imagine a front line where you're like, yeah, you're going to play alongside Mbappe and Dembele as a front line.
Yeah, but
and
then
of course
you'll
he
both be bored in 2 years and want to
but
move
he
on.
He was amazing under Tuchel at Dortmund. Mm. And I don't know, like, would he be bored? Like, he's probably bored now at Barcelona. Mm. Like, he's barely playing in the big games, despite the fact that he should be.
Swap deals don't happen either anymore. Like, they really don't. And when they do, they're utter garbage.
Sanchez Mkhitaryan.
Oh,
that wasn't a swap deal, remember? That what Mkhitaryan's agent said.
Sorry,
Thank you very much. Right, that is it for headlines. Huh? End of football chat.
Thank
God. Let's move on to everyone's favourite section. Anything but football.
Hey.
So,
it's got to be it.
I've got three topics you can pick from.
It's got to be it. What is it?
But really, I think we're probably going to be talking about the biggest event of the summer, which no, isn't the Nations League. Zach, what is it?
Love Island.
Right. Oh, but we've got to pick between. You two can make the decision. Zach seems pretty invested in one. The AJ fight in New York on Saturday.
Sorry, AJ, you'll win anyway, mate.
I hate him. Sorry, Karen.
What?
That's me.
How can you? He's an absolute lovely bloke. To the Spice Girls and their tour that has been absolutely slated.
They should have stayed retired. Victoria got the best deal, not joining them.
Thirdly, the start of Love Island.
Oh, big show Sunday. Can't wait. I have to think it's Love Island, Pato. Yeah, and I think this year you should watch it.
I'm not going to do that.
I think you will,
because Emma's going to watch it.
I hate the name Love Island. And I've seen the people from this year. Yeah. And I've got to be honest, they are fugly.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
they are so bad. It is a horrible selection.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call them fugly. I just think whereas this year, every single one of the lineup, I've gone, don't like you. You're going to be an annoying person. Try not to swear.
Thank you. And just thinking
they don't look like they're even going to be successful after Love Island. At least last year, you were like,
did
okay.
They, though? Did they look like that?
Yeah, yeah, yes, they did.
And also remember, yes, though,
I've seen the people last year, they were better looking on average. 100%.
Yeah, but then they do throw in the best looking people halfway through, these are like what
would happen if on like a Sunday morning you trawled the bottom of the Tyne and just dredged up the bodies of people who'd fallen in last night.
Goodness gracious.
That's what you find, like all these people who are just like, oh, I love to graft me. And they're
sometimes it's just so hard to get a strong opinion out of Patrick.
Yeah, sometimes.
Genuinely, they're all so ugly, okay, and they're all clearly stupid as hell.
Watch the first five episodes.
No.
Please.
Thing is, what is difficult though is that it goes on for so long, doesn't it?
It does. Last year it went on for way too long.
I can't commit to that.
And they also missed the World Cup last year.
Do you think that's funny?
Yeah, yeah.
See, that would be no updates. That would be when Love Island was good. Like, it just, if there was like a nuclear war while they were in there and they all like stumbled out and had to reinvent electricity.
Are you going to watch Love Island, Patrick?
No.
Why not? Just five episodes.
Because I'm 29 and the grave is coming towards me.
I'm actually going to go on it next year.
Are you going to go? I am suspiciously going on holiday at the same time.
I reckon I'd win it. Like, I say this about most things.
Okay, go on.
I say this about most things. Like, I feel like I'm one of those people that the public would actually like. Like, he's not that much of a prick. Like, he's all right. He's actually kind of funny.
It's probably your modesty, Zach.
Yeah, you'd just be doing bombs into the pool. And there'd be like the girls, you're like, oh, did
you? You'd be like, Zach, you've got to pick one to date. And you're just like, look at me.
And you're just like, they all just look nice.
Yeah, they all look lovely. No, but like, I reckon, especially if I found someone like who, whatever, I got into a relationship with, I reckon I'd win easily.
Who won it last year?
Jack.
Danny Dyer.
Just because,
the one who looks like Essex Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but because they were both just normal people.
Thank you.
Like, they were both just normal people.
That's really wow. They weren't rattled like
normal
me,
people. Yeah. The daughter of Danny Dyer.
No, but
also
like,
called Danny Dyer.
My show though would be I'm a Celeb. I'd need to become a celebrity first, but that would be my show.
Well, when you win Love Island, the following year you can go on I'm a Celeb.
I think it's got to be the other way around. I've got
to
somehow.
Well,
what are your aspirations after Love Island? And you said, I'm a celebrity.
Get me out of this. Right. I just think I'd wreck it. Like, I'd be so up for like, we've got to do this. I'm going to get this food for everyone here. Do you think I can win I'm a Celebrity / Love Island / any game show where I have to go live somewhere for a couple of weeks? Let me know on Twitter.
As long as it's not based on knowledge, I think you can win, you can win any game show.
That is that. Thank you for listening to this week's The Game's Gone Mad with Zach and Patrick. Thank you for coming on, Zach. It's been lovely to have you again.
Thank you for having me. Maybe I should be the permanent here. Whoa. Me and Dorman fight for it.
See, this is
death.
How we'll know if Pete's listened the whole way through.
Definitely.
Come
hasn't.
At me, Dorman.
He definitely hasn't. Right. Well, anyway, thank you for listening. There won't be a podcast next week as I'm on holiday.
Aww.
Maybe we'll do it without you.
And then we can call it the Dogcast. And then we'll be
you and Dorman.
Oh,
you're out, Regina. Bye.